sure there's more. I think I got 14 or 15 of them. And I'm going to do them quickly because each one of them could be weeks of messages. And I'm not here to give weeks of messages. I'm just here, what is it he's saying to us? What a prosperous soul looks like. If I should look in the mirror and I should spend my days, okay, Lord, am I prospering? Because he said, if your soul prospers, the rest of your life will prosper. Amen? Well, I'm glad one person thought so. Amen? That your mind and your soul, your emotions, your feelings can cause you to go your own way, do your own thing, and think that God isn't involved in your life. Where is he? He doesn't care. He's not there for me. He's not helping me. And what we've found is if you will continually do as God instructs you to do, your mind, your soul, your emotions will come into alignment with your spirit, and the two of you in agreement, all things are possible. That's what the Word tells us, right? Amen. So here's some things I wrote down. You got your own. I'm sure you got a list of them. But these are the ones that came to me this morning, okay? You ready? Number one, a prosperous soul is joyful. Prosperous soul has joy. Amen? In Luke 10:20 said, nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life in heaven. Know this. There's going to be things in this world, and if you keep looking at the news, I'm going to do how you keep your prosperous soul, how you get a prosperous soul. I'm going to do that. And you understand that there's three places, three gates that bring information into our soul, and it will start, if we allow it, it'll start taking root and start producing fruit that you don't want. Amen? Those three gates are your eyes, your ears, and your mouth. Amen? And I'm going to show you in the scriptures, God warns us about dealing with those areas of our lives because they are direct conduit to the soul. And as you meditate on these things, for instance, if you meditate on how bad Washington, D.C. is, pretty soon it's going to depress you. It's going to discourage you. It's going to cause you to get angry and frustrated. All the things God warns us about, all the things Jesus died on the cross to get rid of us, we keep feeding into us. So God wants us, first of all, look, find the joy and remember and remind yourself daily, I'm saved. Amen? I could get messages. I'm not going to get messages. I'm just going to give you these lists. Number two, a prosperous soul is thankful. They're not complaining and murmuring, and I don't have this and I can't do that and I got this and this and this and this person saying that and this person's not doing that. They're thankful. The scripture says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Sometimes it's hard to give thanks. You don't understand, but all things work together for good to those who love God and call according to his purpose. So we understand that we can be thankful even in the things that go wrong in our lives because we know God's working a greater glory. God's working something out. Not only for you personally, but for the kingdom of God. Remember, we are not our own. We were bought with a price. And as long as we continue to think that this life is ours to determine how it goes, we will never have a prosperous soul. We'll always be weak because the natural mind is at enmity with God, which means it's an enemy of God. That's what the Bible says. The natural mind, the mind that we grew up with until we came to Christ. And once we came to Christ, that mind is still operating. So in Romans 12:2, it says it has to be what? Renewed, transformed. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. As long as you think your mind is perfect in all ways, then you don't look for something to change. You're quite content right where you are. Amen? Now, if your mind is set on the things above, you're all right. You'll do fine. Is there times when it comes down from thinking that? Ooh, watch the Giants. You'll find out. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm serious. That's why I stopped watching them. I got tired of getting angry, frustrated. It's not worth it. Watching that is not worth my peace of mind and joy. So anyways, be thankful in all things. Number three, the third thing he gave me, learn to be contented. Find contentment. Amen? Find contentment. Paul said it this way. Not that I speak in Philippians 4:11, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. Amen? Too many of us, all we can do is look at Walmart and see what you don't have. And still can look at all the junk that's in the house that you do have, you don't use. Amen? Learn to be content. It's a learning process. It doesn't just come because, oh, I'm content with everything. Yeah, right. No, I don't care. We should learn to be content with food, clothes, and a home out of the weather. If you find contentment in those things, then God can trust you with the more. The problem with the church, the problem with the world, is that we're not content, so we go into debt to buy the things that we think will make us content until that thing falls apart. Then we got to go out and buy another one. Or we go out and buy one and it's not good enough because something better came out, so we go buy something new. And we never get out of debt. We continually be in debt. When you're content with where you're at, you'll be free from all debt and indebtedness. Getting quiet in here. You know, you hit the wrong button. People buy. Constantly buying something. They got to buy something. And I don't understand it because, oh well, anyways. Number four, a prosperous soul is always hopeful. And that hopeful means a joyful expectation of something good coming your way. We have hope. Amen? When people who don't have a prosperous soul have no hope for the future. All they can see is darkness and despair and lack that they have and this and that and that. But not God. They understand all things work together for good. Amen? There's a future for us that's even far better than the past. How that's possible at times we don't understand it. But I'm going to tell you something. God's got a plan for your life and it's a good plan. Amen? So let's keep our eyes hopeful. That scripture I gave was Romans 12:12. Let your hope make you glad. Be patient in time of trouble and never stop praying. That's contemporary English translation, by the way. Amen? Let me read that again. Let your hope make you glad. Be patient in time of trouble and never stop praying. Amen? You're going to go through things in this life. Everybody knows that. You're not going to escape them. The key is, don't ever stop going to God to get your needs met. Not your wants. You will find the more you have your joy in the Lord, the more you find contentment in Christ, the more you find all these things happening in your life, you will start seeing the goodness of God start just overtaking you. It's the problem is we chase after the things of this world to find contentment. And joy and hope. Oh, I got to get this and I got to get that. I told you before when I got that car, it's great. I like it. It's in the garage, stored away for the winter. I drove down the road one day, top down. It was in the fall. It was cool, but it was nice. The sun was out. I leaned back in the seat and I just drove along and I said, this is nice. But it didn't change my life. It won't change my life. In the middle of winter when it's snowing and cold and blowing and I'm plowing or shoveling or whatever I'm doing, that car will be the farthest thing from my mind. Can I find the joy and the contentment and all the things I hope for right there then? Amen. And at times, we think we can find it in other people. That's wrong too. Because whether you believe it or not, other people let us down at times. Even our spouses. Yes, 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 yes. I'm not going to get into it, but I can go way long now. The prosperous soul, hallelujah, is fearful.
What do you mean?
Proverbs 9:10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." Amen. The fear of the Lord, that means just you have an awesome respect to Him. Maybe the words came through this morning, or people were talking, even awesome. It's amazing that God speaks to us. Do you understand that? God considers you. I know we don't think of death. Death means cessation of this body functioning. The release, the true freedom that we're going to experience as a spirit, that's true freedom. Right down here, we're weighing, it'd be like going down into the bottom of the ocean and you're got this suit on and the heavy metal and all this stuff and you're going down to the bottom. I'm way down the bottom, but you're not free because you're encumbered with that suit. And if you keep that suit on, it's fine. But if you take it off, you're going to drown. But the thing is, there's coming a time when we're going to take off this suit. We're going to experience true freedom. Amen. So, a joyful heart, our prosperous spirit is one that fears the Lord. Amen. And listen, if you don't understand these things, you seek them out. Search them out. All right, number 6. A prosperous spirit is a loving spirit. Amen. Loving is not the emotional thing that we talk about. True love of God goes far beyond the emotions. Goes far beyond. Read it in Corinthians 13. Read it where it says what love is. It's far past emotions. It is a state of being, a state of soulish mind, if you will, where you have committed your life to Christ, you've committed your soul to Christ, you've committed love because He first loved us. We think it's an emotional thing. Look, when you don't get what you want, when the baddest thing in the world could happen to you, the worst report of the doctor, the rejection of someone, or whatever it is, and you can say, "I still love Him." That's love. When you never think in your mind, and this is a prosperous spirit, a prosperous soul, you never, never think God let you down. Had nothing to do with Him. In this world, you will have trials and tribulations. In this world, things are going to go wrong. Hate to tell you that. Why? We looked at it in the beginning of this service. I gave you the scripture in 1 John 5. And He said, in this world, Satan has sway over this world. He commits to this. He moves on people. And what I said to you before, he can't touch the kingdom of God. He tried and got his butt kicked. And the kingdom of God is in you. So He can't get into you, but He can cause your mind, your will, your emotions to go into turmoil. And if you're not careful and you don't understand it, you will be led by those things. And that'll bring you into complaining and murmuring. That'll bring you into gossip and bring you into dealing with people in a wrong way. Amen? So we have to be aware. We have to be aware. God is a loving God, and a prosperous spirit is a loving spirit. Listen to this. "But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you." That doesn't sound like an emotional love. That makes a determined love. I am going to love like God loves no matter what it costs me. Why? Because as soon as you start reacting to what others say and do, you will end up just like them. Amen? You'll talk just like them. You'll act just like them. You will have bringing division between you and them. When God says that He allows iron to sharpen iron, it causes friction and heat. but it also brings everything smoothly into so they can work together. Amen? Hallelujah. So prosperous spirit is one, or prosperous soul is one who's a loving soul. Number seven, a prosperous soul is a generous soul. Always looking for ways to bless others. One who's a cheerful giver. 2 Corinthians 9:7. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Again, we go back to what we were doing on Wednesday night. For a few weeks, we talked about God's prosperity, God's finances, and how to deal with God's finances. But one thing we learned, which was critical, was that God owns everything. You understand that? Satan has sway. In other words, Satan can influence things to change, people to do things that they shouldn't do, like we just see, and like we see every day, people out on the street screaming and yelling. Well, I tell you something, if it's noisy, it's not God, because God is a still, small voice. So all these noisy people who think God's on their side, wrong. The truth is, there's more power in people on their knees in here praying than there is out in the streets with guns. You understand that? You want to see the world changed? You want to see it change? You want to see the righteous in authority? Get on your face in prayer. God answers the prayers of the righteous. Amen? It not only does it deal with the world, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I'll hear from heaven and forgive their sins and heal their land. That's God's way. We have our own way, unfortunately. Every revival, every outpouring of the Spirit was people on their face in prayer first. No other way. Amen? Hallelujah. So, it's a generous. A prosperous soul is a generous soul, a giving soul. God is a giver. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Amen. So that means you're blessed more when you give than when you get. Amen. And the blessings come from the knowledge that if you give according to God's plan, He will give back exceedingly abundantly above all you ever asked or hoped for. And we learned He owns everything. We were called to be good stewards. So in our giving, we go to God and say, okay, God, what do you want me to do today? That's simple. Amen? Once you understand it's not yours in the first place, it sets you free from all lust of the flesh and lust of the things of the world. It does. Amen? Well, I give my tithes and offerings, but the rest of it belongs to God too, by the way. You understand that? Everything you have down here, everything you have belongs to Him. Your body belongs to Him. Amen? He just called us to be good stewards of it. Now, if we're good stewards of our body, we watch what we eat, right? Well, some of us do. I won't say who was shaking his head no in the back corner. I won't say that. And I agree, I'm not a perfect example of that either. I'm getting there. How am I getting there? I keep asking God, change the way I think. Change the way I think. Take away all desires of all sugars and desires of that junk. Just take that away. I'm asking you to do it. He's doing it, slowly but surely. It's a slow process, yes. Amen? But it's a process that guarantees it will never come back again. Not like dieting. Dieting, you'll get away with it, you'll lose some weight, and then all of a sudden you stop dieting. What happens? Because the mind hasn't been renewed. Hasn't been transformed. So I wait on the Lord. Patiently wait, knowing that He's going to finish what He started. If I ask, I'll receive it. One of these days, you'll see me up your spell. If I turn sideways, you won't even see me. Amen. Okay. Number eight. A prosperous soul gains in the knowledge of our Lord daily. A prosperous soul gains in the knowledge of our Lord daily. Trust me. A rich person who's wealthy in the things of this world always knows how to put their money to work. They don't sit on it. Right? The money works for them. They don't work for the money. They know how to invest. They know how to give their time and their energies into things that will prosper them. If you want to prosper in God and in this worldly system, even though the world's falling apart, that's the one thing we have, is we have this hedge about us. You notice that people who invest will tell you, listen, we're going to set it up so even if the economy falls, you won't get hurt. Yeah, right. Which means they won't get hurt because you keep paying them. But God has a way of prospering us that we don't have to worry about the future. So, we gain 2 Peter 3:18, you know the scripture, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We are called to grow in the grace and knowledge. What that does is bring peace into our lives. Amen? We're called to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord. That's what He's called us into. So prosperous is always looking to gain knowledge. I want to grow in the knowledge of you. Knowledge is not just knowing about, but it's having an intimate relationship with. Amen? You can talk about it. You can talk about it all you want. Oh, I know Him. Really? If you do, then your lives will prove it out by the fruit of your life. Amen? The fruit of your life will be apparent for people to see that. All right? All right, number 9. A prosperous soul has no fear. Now remember, before I said it's fearful. Now I'm saying there's no fear. Amen. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. You don't have to be worried about what's going on in the world. This is all passing. I hate to tell you this. All those people who are in nations and those who are leaders of nations, all those things that they think they got it all together, the Bible says God laughs at them. But this is not our world. This is not our world. Amen? So don't worry about tomorrow. Amen? You said it? Look, if you have a need, God will meet your need. Right? What He said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't let fear enter into your life. And don't worry about it. If somebody says one thing to you, yeah, you know what the doctor said, you know what the bank said, you know what this... I know what my God said. Prosperous soul doesn't get caught up in the reports of others. He believes in the report of the Lord. Amen? Hallelujah. Okay, number 10. Prosperous soul does not have any doubt or unbelief. Amen? Prosperous soul has no doubt or unbelief. Mark 9:23-24, Jesus said to him, if you can believe, amen, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Are you struggling in your faith walk with Christ? Are you doubting at times whether God is able or willing to do what He said He would promise you to do? The easiest thing in the world to deal with that? Help me. You have not because you ask not. But then, when the word comes of comfort, of help, and instructions what to do, or right, don't ignore them. Don't be just hearers of the word, but doers of the word. Do you think God will speak to you? Yes, He will. He will talk to you. The key is to be still. Know that He's God, and He will speak to you, and He'll instruct you on how to get out of the hole that you're in. A prosperous soul knows that God provides, then he will never, and the devil will come up to him and say, it's never going to, you're going to lose everything. It's never going to work. All this stuff. Say, get thee behind me, Satan. My God supplies all my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. We don't walk around for half a day complaining and murmuring and crying. Now, do I have to go to prayer to God? Yes. But let me tell you something. Go to prayer. Tell God what you need. There's nothing wrong with that. Then spend the rest of the time you're talking to him, telling him about what he said about it. Remind him. The Bible says, God says, remind me. Come into agreement with me. That's what he's saying. So spend more time speaking about what God says he'll do than about what the devil says he's going to do. And your soul will be renewed, and all of a sudden, joy will flood your heart. You'll be at peace. And you'll start dancing and singing and praising God and saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen? It works. Trust me, it works. How many times do I have to do it a day? As many times as it takes to do it. Yeah, but I get tired of doing it. Well, if you're getting tired of doing it, the devil's getting even more tired. Because he's sick and tired of you talking about what God said. He's trying to get you to talk what he said. Amen? Okay. Number 11. No double-mindedness. A prosperous soul isn't double-minded. Amen? It's not double-minded. How do you keep from doing that? Keep your mind on the things above and not below. Amen? Again, it's the most difficult part of walking with Christ and keeping a prosperous soul, that your mind's at peace, is not to love this world or the things of this world. If this world and the things of this world brings you joy, you're in trouble. Because they come and go. But if the fact that your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life gives you joy, praise God. And if God brings something into your sphere of influence, the blessing that comes with it, and you say, thank you, Lord, praise God, thank you for it, that's fine. Does that mean I can't have stuff on this world? No. But don't let the stuff have you. If you're working to pay stuff off, it's got you. If you can say, I can quit my job today, I don't have to do anything more, and do whatever God asked me to do, and I won't lose a thing, you got a prosperous soul. Huh? That's what he did. Yeah, he left everything behind. That's a prosperous soul. The Bible says he did not love his life even unto death. We can't love this life. This is not our life. We're here as ambassadors. We're here on assignment from God, but this is not our life. Amen? Hallelujah. Number 12. Oh, didn't I? I apologize. Colossians 3:2, I said, set your mind on the things above, not on the things on the earth. Colossians 3:2. Amen. Number 12. Free of all fear. All your cares, all your anxieties, free from all. Can you imagine that? Not to have any cares or anxieties. Imagine what our life would be like. Free of all that stuff. Prosperous soul is free of all that stuff. He said, turn all your cares over to me, for I care for you. He said, whatever, in Philippians, he talks about, you know, whatever causes anxieties, think on these things. Think on good reports. Think on the holy things. Think on pure things. Everything that would cause us to get off kilter from a prosperous soul. Look, when you, and I know we talk and you're concerned about this or about that. Maybe your family member's not coming to pray. Trust God with them. Trust God with them. He's a big God. He saved you. Do you think he can't save everybody if he wants to? As long as you've been praying and asking, God answers prayer. You understand it? God answers prayer. Prayers of the righteous have much power and authority attached to it. to start thanking Him and praising Him for what He's done, even though you haven't seen it yet. Amen? So, don't let fear cause you be in bondage. 1 Peter 5 said, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. 1 Peter 5, 7. I apologize. I went too quick there. This is the last thing. I think. I wrote one down, but I'm not sure what the Lord gave me that one, but I will. I might. This last thing is a tree to worship. A soulish, a mind that's prosperous worships God. Amen? I find myself singing songs every day, just rising up. I got a lot to be, if I want, to take cares and worries and fears and all this other junk on. But I know this, if I do that, then I'm not free to worship Him. Amen? I'm not free to worship. Worship is more than just singing songs to Him. Worship is submitting your life to Him, giving everything to Him, prostrating yourself before Him. He said, not my will, but your will be done. That's true worship. When you give Him everything, you give it all to Him. That's acknowledging Him. So you're God. You're my source of life. You're my source of peace. You're my source of joy. My source of hope for a future. And again, I want to reiterate, I'm not talking about not having an enjoyment down here. Prosperous mind enjoys the fact you're in this world, but not of this world. A prosperous mind down here recognizes God's creation and just, you can enjoy God's creation. You can have things, and God doesn't care about those things. But if those things are the focal point of our life, in the end, we fail and we lose. In Romans 1:16, it says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. A prosperous mind is free to live a life of worship to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. No matter what goes on around us, no matter what comes or goes, I'm free to worship You. No prison can keep it away. No sickness can keep it away. Nothing. He is my God. Amen? Hallelujah. I will do this last one, even though we're running a little late. We're going to have communion in a minute. In Galatians 5, I'm going to go there. Hallelujah. This one is free from debt. Scriptures tell us not to owe any man anything except to love them. Amen? But Jesus came to set the captives free. And those captives, ones who were in debt to religious activities, they were in debt to man for a living, for their natural lives. But Jesus said, look, even if you're a slave, you can be free. Do you understand that? Find it in the Scriptures, you're going to find it. He said, even if you're a slave, you can be free. Look what it says in verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty or the freedom by which Christ has made us free. Do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will not profit you nothing. And I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. For you have become estranged from Christ. You who attempt to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. He came to set us free from the debt of our sins. Amen. We owe God for the sins that we committed. And when you came to Christ, Jesus took those sins upon himself and set you free. Now, if that doesn't bring you hope for a future and joy and all the good stuff of life, because sin always produces death and destruction. Always. But in Christ, he set us free from the debt of sin. Amen? That's what a prosperous mind has. I'm free. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Jesus has set me free. In it, I can find all those things I've listed and more, and more. I didn't get them all. Amen? What's a prosperous mind? Now, stop and think about it. And I hope you took notes. I hope you got a hold of it. And I hope our sound isn't working the way it should on the internet, I guess. We're going to have to do something. But anyways, you need to find out. Don't let these things that God's bringing us just go over your head. I don't know about you, but I hate the thought that next year, at this date, in this hour, if I'm still around here, that I'd be the same as I was last year. And I haven't gained anything. I haven't seen the freedom that Christ paid for. I'd hate to think that my mind is still clouded with the thoughts that I have today that are not of God, not of the blessings, not of the promises. Oh no, I'm such a mess. No. I guarantee you this, I'll be more prosperous in the soulless realm next year than I am this year. I have made a determination that whatever life God has given to me, I give back to him. And I'm not asking him for a thing. I don't want anything from him except his presence in my life and his continuing work in my mind, transforming into Christ's image. Amen? This world and the things of this world, does that mean you're not... Look, I'm still battling. I'm battling. I understand the battle that goes on in each and every one of us. But I promise you this, the world will not bring you the peace and the joy and all the good things you think it'll bring you. Oh, we have such a good time. And then the time is over. What happens between that time and the next time? When you're doing what you want to do, in that time, do you think is going to provide you all the joy of the world and all the life that you want? And then you have to leave that period of time and go someplace else? What about all that time in between? Your whole thoughts about going back to do that again? When you leave this church, when you go out of that door, when you get into your car and drive home, guess what? All that stuff that's been on you, that's attacking you, that's causing all those things to wander, and even the desires of this world will all flood in on you. If you haven't found a way to stand up and say, no more, no more, I'm not going to take it anymore, I'm not going to allow this anymore, Satan, you have no power over me. You have nothing in me. You can't do a thing to me. And you got the mind of Christ and you start speaking the word of God. Every time that thought comes in, you cast it down, bring every thought into captivity of Christ Jesus. I say it all the time. Lord, become Lord of my thoughts. Master my thoughts. I give them to you, all of them. Then I fall back into my own attack. And I do it again. I fall back. I do it again. But I notice as time goes on, it's less and less falling back. It's an ongoing process of growth and maturing in God, watching God work out in me his perfect will. He's working it out in you. He's only asking for you to ask him to help you. He's not telling you, you got to be this and you got to go there and you got to be here all the time. No. The natural result of that prosperous soul is wanting to be in his presence and in the presence of others just like us. I'd rather be around people who think like he thinks than around people who think like the world thinks. They're all flash. On the outside, they look great. They sound great. They got a lot of money. They got this. They got it. But inside, they're like white-walled sepulchre filled with dead man's bones. There's worms crawling around inside, eating their guts out. But in you, there's life flowing. In you, there's light destroying the darkness. It's, come on now. Amen. Give me God any day. Give me Jesus any second. Watch what He'll do for you. Amen. Glory to God. Yes, Miss Ruth. Number 6. Loving. Matthew 5:44. Sorry. Romans 1:16-17 was the last one. If I gave that. Galatians 5:1-6 was the last one. Amen. Okay? We're going to take up our offering. We're going to take up, we got communion today. Hallelujah. So let's prepare to receive. Hallelujah. You know, the Bible tells us the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us of what? All unrighteousness, right? Let me ask you a question. Is your spirit unrighteous? No. If it's been washed in the blood, it doesn't get dirty again. You understand that? If your spirit got dirty again, you're in trouble. Because you never know when you're going to be called home. Right? So if he said the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed you of all unrighteousness, what's he talking about? He's trying to deal with your soul. He's trying to bring you understanding of everything he intended for you. Amen? So what we're doing here deals with the soulish realm, not the spiritual realm. When I told you about taking communion daily, it's to bring your soul into alignment with your spirit. Amen? All right. Father, in Jesus' name, we praise you and give you glory. We bless this bread as a symbol of the body of the Lamb. We pray, Father, all who partake of it, partake of the life that's in Christ Jesus. Amen. Thank you. When you're ready, please. Praise God. I don't know if this is for someone in here, but I'm going to say what I believe the Lord told me to say. He said there's storms going on right now in people's lives. And really, the storm is in the mind, and it manifests outwardly. Once that storm starts functioning in here and it's not quelled immediately, it'll eventually manifest outwardly. He said, but in that storm, if you will speak to that storm and command it to be still, and don't doubt that what you say will come to pass, it will be still. Will it come again? Yes, it will always come again, but you speak to it again. What do you speak to it? The Word of God. As you speak the Word of God, that storm will be stilled, because the storm comes from the one who has power over the wind and the air of this earth, Satan. It's not of God. If God's dealing with you, he's dealing it from in here, not up here. You have to distinguish between the two. Doubt, non-belief, all that stuff, God wants to deal with it. But speak life to it. Amen? On the night that Jesus prayed, as he sat at dinner with his disciples, he took the bread and he gave thanks. Father, we give you praise and glory and thanks for your provision. And he blessed it, as we bless this, as a symbol of the body of Christ. And he broke it and he said, take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. Each and every time you partake of this, do it in remembrance of me. Now, as you take it, judge the sickness and disease that might try to invade your body or has. Speak to life to every cell of your body. Speak to that name which is above every other name, to that name of disease or sickness, and say, in the name of Jesus, I command sugar diabetes out of my body. I command it to go in Jesus' name. I command high blood pressure to go in Jesus' name. I command cancer, go in Jesus' name. I have been washed in the blood. I have been redeemed from the curse of the law. Every sickness, every disease comes out of the curse. You have been purchased from the curse of the law. The curse of the law no longer has effect to your temple of the Holy Spirit. Speak life to it. Because that's what Jesus did. He came to give us life and give it to us more abundantly. So we thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. The enemy brings sin into our lives. He brings it with a thought. It starts with a thought every time. And if we give in to it, the enemy will use it to bring shame and discouragement. And pretty soon you'll stop and say, well, listen, I can't do this. You can't. And God knows that. God knows you can't deal with sin. That's why his son came to deal with it. And he removed the stain of sin from your spirit. Now those stains are coming into the mind, because all you can do is think, because the enemy keeps reminding you what you said, what you did, what you didn't do, what you should have done. But Jesus said, I will cleanse even the very soul of your body with my blood. It's a reminder that it's Christ working in us, not us. It doesn't give sin the right, but it gives you dominion over it. Amen? You have authority over that sin. Don't allow it to convince you that you have no power. All power, but in heaven and earth and under the earth, was given to Jesus. Jesus turned around and gave it to us. So, Father, we take authority over all sin in our bodies and our minds. In the name of Jesus, we cast down every vain imagination that exalts itself above the knowledge of God. We bring every thought into captivity to Christ Jesus. We declare that Jesus Christ is Lord of our thoughts, our minds, our emotions, our will. He is Master. Not only is he Savior, but he's Master. We receive it. On the same night after dinner, he took the cup. He said, this is the cup of the new covenant, the shedding of my blood for the remission of sin. Each who partake of this, do it in remembrance of me. Receive it. Be clean. Not only in the spirit, but in the soul. Let the blood cleanse you. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. 2 more minutes, we got announcements, and then we're closed.